Ladies, fasting could backfire on your hormones. Here's why.
Well, welcome to the yes, where science meets the latest and greatest in wellness. I'm Walter, co-founder at Hum, and I'm here with
Sarah Greenfield, functional medicine dietitian and microbiome nerd.
Sarah. It's always good to speak to you, and today's topic is super fascinating. It sounds like both you and I had very different experiences when it comes to fasting, and I would
Yeah.
love to dive into this topic a bit more because it is obviously. And I want to also like caveat this can be a very sensitive topic because often fasting can be associated with weight loss, for example. And I want to talk about the benefits of fasting, not through the lens of weight, but more of like a general health benefit, just to be really clear to ground ourselves into this conversation. So
Yeah.
why don't we start a little bit like on what is fasting? Let's start with the basics.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had this like very intellectual, science-based definition, but fasting essentially is just intentionally not eating at certain intervals. And that's generally what it is. So there's a lot of different ways to step into fasting, and there's a lot of different definitions. So I think today it would be really great to just kind of give high-level overviews and keep it manageable because you can really go deep into this.
Are there, yeah, well, and you alluded to this, like, what are the different types of fasting?
So I kind of think of like the umbrella of fasting called intermittent fasting. And that's when you're choosing these intervals to eat. You have this eating window, and then you have a window where you don't eat anything. There's no sort of like calorie restriction or foods that you're changing. It's just really this window of eating and window of not eating. And then there's different ways to kind of get in there. Alternative day fasting is another one that's super popular and has a lot of good research behind it. And that's typically when you're eating for one day, fasting for the other day, and then just following that pattern. And then there's periodic fasting, where if you're looking at a 7-day week, 5 days you're eating normally, 2 days you're fasting, and that fast looks like less than 500 calories per day. So you're kind of like breaking things up a little bit and shocking your body a little bit. So
Yeah.
that's kind of like, I think, oh, and then the last one I would say is fasting within your, like, just having a deep understanding of your menstrual cycle. That's another tactic, but you're going to be doing like the intermittent fasting type activities, but within that. So that's kind of what I would say are the general ones that we can dive into today.
Awesome. And why should one even consider a fast?
The reasons for me, like as a dietitian, again, not trying to put weight loss as the center focus and saying, oh, in order to lose weight quickly, this is what we do. It's much deeper than that. And I love integrating fasting because it creates better insulin sensitivity. So you're actually able to use the calories and the energy from your food more effectively. You can put it into your cells so it can be made into energy versus storing it for fat. That's really important. It's also great for your gut. There's another thing called cellular autophagy, which is basically like cleaning up damaged cells and repairing other types of cells. And it's just a really beautiful, healthy act for your body. It also promotes human growth hormone, HGH. So
Mm.
that just has a lot of health benefits in and of itself. It can help decrease inflammation. So it's really, really beneficial when it's done well. And that's what we have to really kind of balance is like, when can we fast and have it be healthy and not dump it over into more stress on our bodies?
So let's talk about that actually, because obviously, like if done right, and there's some research around that, it's like fasting can actually support longevity.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that for me a little bit?
Yeah. So there's been studies that have looked at overall caloric restriction or decreasing calories as we age, as we get older, not needing as many, and showing, I think there's a lot of mouse studies that look at this, that there's actually longer lifespan the less calories you eat because your body is not having to process so much and do so much. So it really does, and it goes back to that autophagy piece, right? Like when you're not eating for longer periods of time, your body is more efficient at cleaning up damaged cells and getting rid of things that could be potentially harmful. So there's that link right there to longevity and also the insulin sensitivity. When you're more efficient with your calories and not storing it as fat, your body is going to be metabolically functioning at just a more efficient level.
So it will help with your longevity, but not with your husband's, probably, because you mentioned earlier, like, like when you do start a fast, you become slightly dangerous.
For me, yes, I'm a little demon lady when I don't eat. But I think, you know, as I was diving into this research and really looking at how can I sync this up to my body, I think I've missed a huge key point when it comes to fasting, because we're talking about it now just as like looking at every day, like, okay, here's the week, we're going to fast, we're not going to fast. But to me, what gets really interesting, and I know we'll unpack this in a little bit, is matching it up as a woman to my cycle, which I've never done. And I think that's where, for me, I can unlock a little bit more depth with it and more stability, because I'm actually looking at my hormonal patterns and what I need at those moments, versus what I've done in the past is just like, oh, today's Monday, so I'm going to start the fast, and having no concept where I was at in my cycle, if my estrogen was high or progesterone was low. And those are really important things for a woman to understand and to link up to when we're looking at fasting for all of these health benefits.
Maybe let's unpack this a bit more, because I think a lot of listeners would be interested in that specifically. It's like, so depending on your cycle, like, could you guide us through on like how to fast?
Yes. So I'll give you a high level overview. There's a lot of great research out there. There's a wonderful book called Fast Like a Girl. And I think that's just, if you're considering fasting, if you're like, yes, more insulin sensitivity, weight loss, if that's a goal, and just longevity and better health outcomes, I think that's a really important book to look at. I'll give you kind of the general overview. But basically, when you want to understand as a woman when your estrogen is high and when your progesterone is high. When your estrogen is high, you have more capacity. You can be more resilient and tolerant to stress. So from a fasting perspective, that's a really good time to fast, because you have more stress resiliency. So putting something additional on your body is okay, because you can recover from that quickly. So fasting, exercising more intensely, really good to do in the first 2 weeks of your cycle, in the follicular phase. So the moment you get your period is technically day one of your cycle. So day one to 14, if we're doing kind of generally those first 2 weeks, is when you want to work out harder. It's when you want to experiment with different fasting lengths. I think depending on where you are, like 13, the Fast Like a Girl book recommends anywhere from 13 if you're starting to, if you're more seasoned, even a 72-hour fast, you can get that in those first 14 days of your cycle, because we have that higher estrogen. What's interesting to also understand is the types of food you're choosing as a woman with estrogen is really important, because higher carbohydrate food with estrogen is not always super beneficial. So we actually want to go lower carb during this time period in our cycle while we're fasting. So it gets a little complex, but these are, again, just like, if we're thinking of it generally, this is how you want to work through it. And then that third week, so we have ovulation in that like 14, 15 day window. And then we kind of want to see where our body's at, because you can continue to fast and check in and be like, okay, how does my body feel here? Or you might want to pull back a little bit. So that third week is kind of like you have a little bit more fluidity. But that fourth week is when progesterone is going to be higher. And progesterone being higher means you have less stress resiliency. You have less capacity to recover. You might be more moody, emotional, all of those things. Your digestion might be a little bit off. And those, and that time, you do not want to be fasting at all. And you actually want to be increasing carbohydrate intake. So that's kind of when you think about generally stepping into fasting as a woman. Those are the key pieces that I would say are really important. So one is just understanding where you're at in your cycle, which for me for a long time, I never paid attention to. It was like, oh, I have got my period, but then I didn't look at my follicular stage or my luteal stage. And that's just so critical as a woman to understand all of our nuances and our feelings and digestion and bloating, and all of those things can be more pronounced depending on where we're at in our cycle.
That is so fascinating. And I think this is going to be really helpful for people who listen to this podcast to understand those nuances, because there's so much research around fasting and it really, the details do matter. Is there anything else you think people should know specifically research related when it comes to fasting?
Yeah. So there's really, like you said, there's really good research and evidence to show that fasting can be helpful. The alternative day fasting trials showed about a 6 to 7% reduction in overall body weight in just 6 to 8 weeks. So I think that that's really promising. And anytime we're seeing weight reduction, I always like to see it as a slow kind of methodical journey, because anything that's quick or like, oh, lose 25 pounds in 3 days, it's like, that's not going to do it. So to see that slow reduction in body weight, really, really awesome with the alternative day fasting. And then also just decrease fat oxidation. So that's another, like, you're clearing out free radicals and things that are harmful. That kind of ties into the longevity piece.
Yeah. And then generally speaking, I think Harvard did this health review that like intermittent fasting can actually lower blood pressure, LDL cholesterol, insulin sensitivity, and improves HDL in overweight and obese adults. So that was a really interesting one, I thought. Yeah. And generally speaking, you want to, you know, combine fasting with exercise, actually, which sounds counterintuitive, but it really can help you boost that fat loss if that's what you're after, basically, and build that lean muscle mass, which is so helpful to protect your joints, but also for longevity in general. So I think that's something else to call out. That was
And creatine, right? Like we did a whole podcast episode on creatine, and I think when you're stepping into as a man or a woman. But especially we unpacked a lot of the research around women and helping to preserve lean body mass, which is harder for a woman. We don't have as much as men and it breaks down quickly. So that creatine is another one that I would say as you're ramping up your exercise, it could be a beneficial supplement to explore in this journey. So you're fasting and you're just being more effective and efficient with your health efforts.
How about reproductive health? Because that's obviously a topic that's really, really important to many of our listeners. Do you have a perspective around fasting and reproductive health?
Yes. So in this book, Fast Like a Girl, she does actually speak to, if you don't have a period, getting into this fasting cycle can actually help to bring the period back. It can help to stabilize and regulate hormones a little bit more efficiently. Obviously, if you don't have a period, you're not going to know exactly where you are in your cycle. But if you can kind of map out the plan that I talked about and just start that, it can actually help with hormone regulation. So there's a really wonderful benefit to fasting in that capacity, mapping to your and following kind of those hormone fluctuations as a woman.
And is there actually, when there's just too much is too much here, is there some caution we should be aware of?
Oh, absolutely. There's always, there's always a disclaimer with feeling how it feels in your body. Some people, if you're on certain medications, there's definitely times that you shouldn't be fasting. So depending on what medications you're on, I always say check with your doctor just to see if potential fasting could be beneficial for you. If you feel lightheaded, if you feel anything kind of altered in your body and you're like, I'm just going to power through it, don't do that. Like, listen to your body. If it's not good for you, there are many other ways and techniques to improve insulin sensitivity, to lose weight, that don't have to be intermittent fasting. Like, this is just one potential tool in the toolbox. It is not a black and white recommendation for everybody. So I think that's really important, is to say, like, does this, like, one, do I feel interested in this? Cause that's always like inner intuition, right? Like, if you're like, oh, how interesting, this is something I would like to learn more about, then go with that and really do your due diligence to understand, like, is this right for my body? And if you do decide to do it and it doesn't feel good, then stop. There's no failure. There's no wrong. It's just really like, we're a lab of experimentation and we get to kind of play around with our bodies and see what feels good.
Yeah. And I want to call out that a lot of these studies looked at like intermittent fasting from a sort of 12 to 14 hour window, basically, mm-hmm. when people didn't fast. Maybe we should mention that data point as well when those studies were conducted. And I think another thing that we may want to like talk about very briefly is like, when you are not 100%, let's say you come down with a cold or you're like, you have flu, whatever it is. Actually, these are moments when you don't feel like eating sometimes as well, right? And I think our bodies have an incredible ability to regenerate themselves. and eating can actually be quite stressful for your stomach. A lot of blood went goes into digestion, right? And like, so I think giving your body parts a bit of a rest and helps your other body parts recover better, you know? And I think it's just paying to paying attention to those signals that your body is sending you, I think can be extremely helpful here, because I think you will know when too much is too much and when, you know, when is a good time and, you know, to fast and when not. So I thought that was really, really helpful.
Yeah. And for me, like I, my Achilles heel, and again, the clients that I serve, is digestion. Mm-hmm. And when we're dealing with altered digestion, dysbiosis, inflammation in the gut, it can be really beneficial to take a break from eating. And I know that could sound like counterintuitive. And if it's, you know, if there's any disordered eating in your history, maybe don't do it, or work with someone that can help guide you through that. And looking at giving your body a rest and hydrating and drinking lemon water and not eating for a certain period of time is also wildly beneficial. I think, you know, we're always like, oh, but I have to be eating. And sometimes, like you said, if you're sick, if you're not feeling, if your gut's altered, like it's okay to take a break from eating and check in and see how you feel. And then when your hunger picks back up again, start to nourish yourself with really good, high quality foods. But again, like that trust in your body is something that I like to teach people to tap into, because I think we often, especially like just speaking as a woman, have not been really taught to listen to our bodies. Like for me, even this, I'm like, oh my God, my period, and understanding like where I'm at in my menstrual cycle and layering that on fasting, that's how it's going to work for me as a woman. So I think just really starting to bring that trust and that intuition back into our wellness and healing journey is really important.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, in addition, I would say for those who have ever done a fast, they will know this, you also feel a bit clearer, I must say, right? Yeah. Suddenly that brain fog goes away. Again, maybe your organs are just getting a rest and they can be a little bit more productive. So there's that benefit. And I think when you come back, how you break a fast is important as well, specifically like longer fasts. I think we need to speak about that too quickly. It's not just like eating a lot and then suddenly eating nothing and then going right back into it.
Right.
Can we talk about that very briefly? I know we're almost out of time here, but I want to quickly
mention
that as well, because it's really important.
That is really important, is to kind of, how do we ease ourselves back into that cycle of eating? So I like to incorporate things that have higher protein, higher fat, like bone broth, avocado, maybe not like a steak, but just like things that are a little more gentle on the gut. Soup is a really good one to kind of ease yourself off of that fast. And then doing things that don't have a lot of spice and a lot of flavor, but just really kind of bland foods. And then after you do like a bone broth or a soup, then you can kind of go into more carbohydrate, fat, fiber, balanced meal. But that's really important, how you get yourself off that fast. Cause you don't want to just be like, boom, I'm going to the drive-thru. It's like, no, you've just spent all this intentional time nourishing your body and healing it. And now we need to ease off of that fast.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Sarah. This was super informative as always. Let's go to our next segment, our well yeses and well nos. Well, my well yes this week is, I'm a big fan of like fasting once a month, and it's just like giving my digestion a bit of a break. That really works for me. I'm not a huge fan of intermittent fasting personally. It's just like my days and my schedules are just so packed and this and that. I just don't want to like add like another layer of complexity into those, but that works for me, like having one day dedicated to this. And I'm also quite thoughtful about like, okay, this week, did I get at least one fish in my meal, right? So protein from fish and maybe like just once red meat. Like I'm really thinking about these things, and that really helps me sort of like balancing my diet and my digestion. And then the other thing I would say, my well know, is like really when people go very aggressively in and out into fasts, right? Like they suddenly, you know, go from eating way too much into nothing and then right back into it. I think that's where you're losing a little bit of that inner touch with like how your body really reacts to things. So I would be, you know, I would suggest to people to really pay attention to, on like, you know, being a bit more thoughtful around like how you ease in and ease out of a fast. These are my well yeses and my well nos this week.
Beautiful. My well, yes, is the fasting syncing up with my cycle. I'm actually really considering doing that and seeing how that feels. And I'm so curious about it. So I think I'm going to commit to, I'll commit here so you can hold me accountable to a 30-day cycle syncing fast and just see how I feel and then maybe do some blood work so I have data, which is always my like love language. And then my well know is overriding my body's deep knowing. So if something feels wrong, even I say I'm going to commit to this 30 days, but if it doesn't feel good, I'm going to pull back and stop. So that's my well know is like just doing something or like being like, I'm going to fast and I've committed and I'm going to push through. That's a well know.
All right. Well, thanks, Sarah. That was super helpful. Let's do our RD rapid fire before we conclude this episode. You know how this goes. Rate things from 1 to 10, 1 being obviously not so great and 10 being absolutely fabulous. 2 week fasts.
6.
Fasting before your period starts.
Before your period starts. 0.
16-8 TRE, time restricted eating.
10. That is eating for 8 hours and then fasting for 16. That I think is, there's been a lot of good research around that. So yeah, that one I give a 10.
So then this is different from what we spoke about before. 5-2 periodic fast, which means 500 calories on 2 days per week.
Yeah. So that's the 5 days of normal eating, quote, normal eating. And then the 2 days with that 500 calorie restriction. Based on the research, I give that one a 9.
ADF, alternate day fasting.
10.
And then TRE, time restricted eating plus exercise.
7.
You can give that 100. I would have thought you would be more generous with that one. And then fasting plus a low calorie diet. So that means like eating very little or nothing at all.
We'll give that a 5.
All right. Well, thanks, Sarah. As always, this was really informative. And, you know, there's a lot of science around fasting. If you want to learn more, check out our blog as well, The Wellness, because a lot of like, there's a lot of good content there that speaks to that in great depth. But in the meantime, I just want to say massive thank you for this. This really helped me learn a lot about the space. And I thought our listeners learned a lot as well. And, you know, just a few words of like, so wisdom, respect your own body signals, right? Your own rhythm, yep. Pay attention to your body and you will find your best way to fast. Massive thanks to everyone here, including Brooke, who produced this episode, and Fatima, who is behind the scenes making sure that the sound is great, the image is great, the light is great, and all that. And if you like this episode, please, please give us a follow, drop a comment, or like it. We'll be back next week with more.